Speaker of the House, Mike Madigan, spokesperson Steve Brown is joining us on the phone. He's also well-known around the campus of SIU. And it's interesting. First off, morning, Steve. How are you?
Tom, good morning. I'm terrific. And, you know, I hope I was down there over the weekend. As you know, I hope that all of the families who were affected by the flooding, that they get the help they need. I'm sure they will. But what a rainstorm.
Yeah, because Steve and I were texting back and forth, you know, saying, you know, I'm heading down there, and I'm saying, well, be sure and pack rain gear. And that was good advice.
It was terrific advice. And I say to anybody who watched the development of the new baseball field at over at Carbondale at SIU, that was a tribute to engineering that they were able to play two games on that field on Saturday, because it was, the dugout got flooded, but the turf field was great. The infield was playable. And so that was a lot of effort there to make that a usable thing. And, you know, earlier in the season they normally get to, and when there's rain like that.
Yeah, I know the play-by-play guy over there, and he pretty well. He was my sports guy for a few years. I've known him for about 30, and he was saying, "We're going to play 11. We played 11 today. How can that be?" Even he was astounded. So
that's good. Pretty amazing.
You know, there's been a stalemate. Nobody is. This is not a news flash to anyone, but I think a lot of people, their heads came up a bit when they said Madigan's meeting with Rauner. Whose idea was it, and the timing for that? The speakers?
Speaker requested the meeting, we'd been away from Springfield for a while, and the speaker wanted to go down and chat with the governor, talk about focusing on the budget. About the importance of trying to get all that done. He thought that was a worthwhile thing to do, and they did meet. The speaker didn't offer me details about the subject or the tone of the meeting, which is fine. You know, we put out a brief statement just acknowledging that it happened, and hopefully, you know, we can go back to focusing on the budget and getting it done. It's not something that anybody that I know of is happy to see happening, and we know the toll it's taking. You know, I'm kind of a guy who watches the destruction at SIU and wishes that isn't happening. I mean, I've got this conflict of interest, of course, because I'll have two sons there by next fall, and I'd like to see the institution continue to prosper and grow. It's tough times, tough times.
Well, you know, this 817 measure that was not before this last week, but the previous session, we'll call it, with the House, this $817 million lifeline, as it was called by Illinois State Representative Brandon Phelps, money for higher education and social services, money that already exists and is in accounts right now.
Right, yeah. One of the functions of the income tax bill that passed in 2011 was to create these two set-aside funds where a percentage of that income tax comes in, goes in those funds, pretty well limited to spending on those purposes. So the House decided to formulate a plan, get that money out the door as soon as possible, because, you know, in the area of social services, there are crisis situations with many of these not-for-profits. Higher ed, we can document the impact it's having, not only on the state schools, but the community colleges. And there are many of the smaller private colleges and universities that depend on the MAP assistance scholarship programs are really in trouble. And they're losing faculty. Their students are being poached by the border states and elsewhere, and we really need to put a stop to all of that, and hopefully that can pass in the Senate. They're looking at it now, and the governor would sign it. Now, the governor says he doesn't want to do it that way. I hope he thinks a little more clearly and does sign it.
All right. It's interesting. Steve, I had a friend of mine who was giving out scholarships last week at one of the area high schools, and he said the thing that he's done this for a number of years, he says the thing that I find most appalling is the fact that so many of them were not going to SIU, and they had these monies. So let's go back to this meeting just a couple of moments, because,
sure,
Steve, the kind of, that we'll call it the breakdown of the budget process, if you highlight it, would be the governor wanting these substantial changes for environment, term limits. Right, you had this long shopping list, and from the press release that you referenced from Speaker Madigan, that he in the actual term was hinted. With changes that will help create jobs, which some people interpret as a willingness to meet Rauner at some point, a compromise. If Rauner will come for a budget, then Mike Madigan is willing to help move some of these changes that will help create jobs, a direct quote.
Sure. Well, Tom, if you look closely, and I understand the general public, the audience is busy. If you look closely at what's going on, since the governor took office, the House, the legislature, has attempted to move bills along that would address some of those things. They're not the way the governor wants them, and you know the way he's pretty much been is he wants his, you know, my way or the highway. So when it talks to workers' comp, for example, the only way he wants to deal with injured families and workers trying to get back on the job is to probably reduce the amount they receive for, you know, their injuries, for their health care, for their expenses. We've said, let's look at the insurance companies who really haven't passed along the savings that we did as a result of a bill that passed back in 2011. So there's all kinds of examples like that. Up and down the list, the House has passed a redistricting plan that we believe takes some of the political questions out of it, still complies with the Voting Rights Act, which has to be done. But no, he wants to have a program that really doesn't comply with the Voting Rights Act that he tried to push via a petition drive last year. So those topics are going to be addressed one way or another. We've tried to work on looking at the way tax credits are handed out. That's another thing that might help bring in business. But if you're talking about building business, how can you possibly justify destroying the colleges and universities in the state, the places where you're going to send, you know, the high school senior to learn? Because we know that when they leave Illinois, 50% of them never really come back. How can that prosperity idea, you know, be linked together?
All right. The upcoming election, we've seen the Democrats start to roll out a long list of candidates, including J.B. Yeah. Pritzker, who recently joined us here on the show. So we've seen that. That event throws a long shadow on the prospect and willingness of some people to make tough calls because of the desire to be reelected. Will we see a budget before an election for governor?
Well, Tom, as you know, as by practice, I don't do predictions. It would be a tough vote, but it'd be one though that would probably have to have a bipartisan flavor to the roll call. So I think people are inclined to do it. It's just trying to get to what are the numbers, how much it's going to cost, how are you going to spend it, what's the fairest way to, you know, raise revenue. Now, the governor complicates some of this stuff, and I know this sounds partisan or whatever, but he put out a mailing a couple of weeks ago that went to thousands, tens of thousands, probably households around the state. And on the envelope is a picture of the governor's wife, a picture of Mike Madigan, who he calls Tax Hike Mike. That's the label on that picture, and it says he promises or demands a balanced budget without a tax increase on the envelope. But then there's a four-page letter, and then he asks for money. And so the question becomes, how is it do you work out this compromise with that kind of rhetoric going on? I mean, Madigan's pretty consistent. He said there's a budget, a need for a budget. We need to take a balanced approach between cuts and revenues. Now, I can point to things where we passed legislation that had cuts in it from people who think, oh, Democrats only want tax hikes. But you wonder, if there were a vote in Springfield, would the radio and TV ads attacking the people who supported higher taxes start, you know, like before they could put their, you don't put a key in the ignition anymore, before you held the fob up to your dashboard and started your car? It's just a real, you know, real question mark, real confusing.
Right. And the fear of the unknown, Steve, you smart guy, the fear of the unknown is ravaging a lot of people's prospects. What are they going to do? What are they not going to do? They're going to move. We're going to go to school here. The unknown is always difficult for people, and that's literally where we are with the only state, the longest state in at least 80 years, not to have a budget since we haven't had one since June 2015. Steve Brown, Speaker of the House spokesperson. And Steve, I know, you know, starting Monday, talking to me may not be your idea of a great great Monday, but it is for me, so I really appreciate it.
If I had stayed down there, I would have come into the studio.
I know you would.
Brought some donuts.
Yeah, I know you would have.
Talking to you, I like you. You're a good guy to talk to.
Yeah. So, but I appreciate it because this is one of these things. What are we going to do? It's like you saying, I don't want to make predictions, and you know what? I understand why. You know, I mean,
well,
under these circumstances,
I quit doing it a long time ago because I'm usually not right. That's why I quit doing it. So I don't want to. You know, if you make a prediction, then the next thing that happens when you're wrong, somebody runs back and says, hey, you predicted this, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't get me very far. Hey, Tom, did my Social Security number that I put out on that parking space in the lot, did that wash out, or should I have to send somebody back down there and put that down to reserve my spot?
Oh, I've already taken a picture of that and shared it on Twitter, buddy. So.